The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You from HowStuffWorks.com.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Caroline.
And today we are so excited to be talking to host of WNYC's The Longest Shortest Time and also This American Life producer, Hillary Frank.
That's right. Kristen's conversation with Hillary is kicking off podcast summer camp. So basically, this summer, we are talking to a bunch of fellow lady podcasters about what they do, why they do it, where their interests lie, and how they got to where they are. Basically, I think we kind of selfishly wanted to hear that from other podcasters.
And when it comes to podcasts that I personally love, Caroline, The Longest Shortest Time is definitely at the top of the list because it feels a lot like the kinds of in-depth, candid listener stories that we get so often. And The Longest Shortest Time is also focused around parenthood and also just familyhood more generally. So it really feels like a kindred podcast to me.
Well, Kristen, how did you get interested in it if it is a podcast about parenting? Neither one of us is a parent.
Well, it was actually a parent friend who first mentioned it to me and said, you have to talk about this. They talk about all sorts of things that you cover on Stuff I've Never Told You. And so I did, and I was hooked because it very much does have an almost This American Life feel to it because Hillary has such an incredible way of engaging her guests to really mine the depths of what it means to be a parent beyond what we normally read on parenting blogs or in all the different parenting books you might see. It really gets to the nitty gritty of what it's like and how unglamorous and difficult it often is. And also too, incredibly rewarding, of course.
Well, so what was your favorite part of speaking with Hillary?
Well, selfishly, because like you mentioned, I am not a parent at this point, but you and I are at an age when friends of ours are becoming parents. And one thing that I was so glad to get her insight on was bridging the parent, non-parent divide. Because I think a lot of times, especially in pop culture, we see this division between, oh, here are the non-parents who are still cool and we can hang out as late as we want to. And then there are the lame parents and all they want to do is talk about their babies and play dates and things like that. And you can't possibly get along. How could friendship survive that? But Hillary talks a lot about how it is absolutely possible to survive the survive kids getting in the way of your lady friendships or just general couple friendships or I'm just saying friendships.
Different types of friendships.
All the various classifications of friendships.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. I'm actually getting dinner with one of my best lady friends since second grade here pretty soon. And she is about to have her third. So that's good to know that there's hope for us to remain friends another, I was going to say 20-something years, but now it's been more than 20-something years.
Friendship is more powerful than babies, Caroline.
Yeah, babies aren't very powerful. They're very, very weak.
They can't even stand up.
They don't have much neck strength.
They can't even feed themselves. Well, to kick things off, Hillary is going to introduce herself and how she got started in radio, which then led to podcasting and The Longest Shortest Time. So, dear listeners, please enjoy my chat with Hillary Frank.
My name's Hillary Frank, and I have been a radio producer for 16 years. I started out doing some work for This American Life as a freelancer, and then moved on to freelancing for a lot of different radio shows. And I've also written 3 young adult novels that I illustrated. My degree's actually in drawing naked people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I studied anatomical drawing at the New York Academy of Art, and while I was there, got my first story on This American Life and wound up going into radio.
Well, I have to ask then, what was your first story on This American Life?
My first story was something I put together using a boombox and answering machine, microcassette answering machine. Those were the tools of the day, I guess, or what was accessible to me as someone who didn't know how to make professional radio. And I did a story about my 2 friends in college who pretended to be a giant. One got on the other's shoulders, and they would wrap a blanket around themselves and wear like a long kind of Kiss-style wig, and they called themselves Giant Man. And they would like show up on the quad at night, and they would post these like posters, flyers all over campus saying like, Giant Man will be appearing on the quad. And he would show up and just be like, I am giant, I am huge, and I'm a benevolent giant man, and I have come to shower you with butterscotch candy. And he would like throw butterscotch candy at the crowd. But the thing was that everyone who didn't actually see Giant Man believed that he was real. And people believed it so much that like there were professors discussing in philosophy classes whether or not we were exploiting a freak of nature.
Wow.
Yeah. So I interviewed my friend who was the top half of Giant Man.
Oh man, that sounds fantastic. Well, for listeners who might not be familiar with The Longest Shortest Time, can you tell us a little bit about it and where the idea came from?
Yeah, so The Longest Shortest Time is a podcast I started when my daughter was about 10 months old. I had a really rough delivery and recovery from childbirth. I had an episiotomy, which is, you know, when they cut you to help get the baby out. And then my stitches busted a week later, and I needed to get recut and stitched. And that was like actually more traumatic than anything that had gone down in the actual birth. And I wasn't able to walk for the first 2 months of my daughter's life. And I couldn't do the kinds of things that you want to be able to do when you're a new mom. Like, I couldn't bounce her. I couldn't get into the right position to breastfeed her. I couldn't change her diaper. I couldn't give her a bath. And like, those are things that not everyone relishes doing, but like, you want to be able to take care of your kid when you first have one. And, I also couldn't go upstairs. We lived in an apartment where our bedroom was on. I was upstairs and the bathroom was downstairs. So I slept in our very dark, tiny living room on a air mattress for the first 8 weeks of her life. So it was like a really dark time. And we moved 4 months after she was born to a town where I didn't know anybody. And it looked to me like everyone was having an easier time than I was. And, you know, I would I wanted to make friends. And so, like, let's say I would be at a coffee shop and I would see somebody holding a very tiny baby, and I'd be like, wow, look at you. You're doing it. That's great. And they would be like, well, it's been 2 weeks. And for me, it was just such a punch in the gut. And I felt like, how was I going to continue to have a conversation with anyone like that? And so I felt an urgent need to know that other people were struggling. Even if it wasn't the same exact struggle that I had, I needed to know that it wasn't super easy for everybody else. And I also knew that, as an experienced radio producer, I knew that having a microphone kind of gives you license to ask somebody anything. So that's what I did. I started interviewing people about their struggles, and in the beginning, it started out as this very kind of selfish thing that was very cathartic for me. And then, and podcasting wasn't so big back then. And so, it felt almost like this private thing, even though I was putting it out there. And I said at the end of the show, if you want to tell your story of a surprising struggle in parenthood, email me. And I started getting emails right away from strangers who wanted to talk to me. And, it started out with us, like, coordinating during our kids' nap times, really, like getting 20 minutes in here and there to talk to people. And these, like, mostly strangers to me would wind up crying. Almost everyone cried in that first year. And what I learned was that it was becoming cathartic to other people as well.
What do you think then is the root of that catharsis? Why is talking about the experiences so particularly cathartic, especially during that period of time as being new parents?
Yeah, so I think that the first thing you want to hear when you're going through something difficult, no matter what it is that you want to hear someone telling you that you're not alone. And that's what I think the podcast had the power to do on a very basic level, was just someone in your ear being like, you can calm down, take a deep breath. You're not the only one. And then the other thing that it does is that when you hear that someone had a struggle that is different from yours, maybe just as intense but different, it reminds you that you had an easier time with something else, something that they didn't have an easy time with. And I think it can be really nice to remember that too. Yeah, I think it kind of does these two things, and I don't think it's necessarily particular to new parenthood. I think it's anyone who's going through a time of crisis.
Well, it seems like, you know, the longest, shortest time really focuses in on that need for that kind of real talk of understanding each other's struggles and the strengths that you might have that you didn't realize that you had. And when it comes to childbirth and parenting, at least from, I have more of an outside perspective. I'm not a parent, but it seems like there's so much information these days of what to expect when you're expecting and, you know, all of the things that you can read about how things will go. And yet it still seems like there's this vacuum, this communication vacuum of what it's actually like. And I was wondering why you think that might be. For all the information we have, why is it perhaps still, I don't know, hard to talk about or?
Yeah, well, it's really scary to, like, talk about vaginal injuries. I mean, and there's a good reason for that. I mean, I think that women who talk about it really run the risk of being called hysterical and ungrateful for, especially, like, if you have a healthy child. There's a lot of people who will tell you should just be happy that you had a healthy child. And I'm, of course, incredibly grateful that, like, endlessly grateful that I have a healthy child. But I don't think that should negate the fact that there can be some real physical and psychological damage done to people in childbirth, and that needs to be dealt with. I mean, I think if you out yourself as someone who is dealing with postpartum depression or anxiety or a vaginal injury, you are putting yourself in a position of seeming hysterical and like you don't know what really matters. And like it took me 3 years to find help for my injury. I was in pain for that long, and it wasn't really something I felt like I could talk about fully until I had gotten healed and I was on the other side of it. But it's just, there's a real stigma to talking about it.
I mean, do you think it's maybe part of a broader cultural problem we have with not taking women's health concerns, whether they're physical or mental, seriously?
Yeah, I do. It's a hard thing to understand if you haven't been through it, and there's not enough people advocating for the fact that this stuff is real and it does real damage to people. And it's sort of easy to walk around and pretend like stuff isn't happening inside your head, or inside a part of your body that nobody can see. And so without those kind of strong voices out there being advocates for this kind of stuff, it's hard, I think, for other people to imagine that it's real.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Well, and do you think there's also an external pressure put on new moms in particular to be extremely happy and, like you said, very grateful, mm-hmm. and everything's fine and what a joyous time?
Definitely. I mean, it's interesting. I feel like parenting media most often is either, you know, that kind of thing, like, yeah, you have to be happy about everything, or kind of braggy about what a bad mom you are. And they both kind of rub me the wrong way. Because I just think being a parent is a complex part of life, just like anything. And so why can't we talk about it in a complicated way?
Well, it's also been interesting to see in celebrity culture how there's been this recent obsession with, you know, these new celebrity moms who don't look like they ever were pregnant at any point,
yeah.
at all. And it's not only this cultural pressure to be super happy, but also look fantastic.
Be super thin.
Exactly.
And the thing that people need to remember is that number one, that's their like full-time job, is to look awesome. And they have people watching their babies while they do that. And the other thing is, I think that that's really dangerous for the media to be congratulating celebrity moms for looking amazing after having a baby, because it makes everyone else feel like they need to pressure themselves into doing that too.
Yeah, it definitely seems like the phrase pre-baby body is a bit misleading for women.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just did an episode with Jane Marie, who is a style and beauty blogger for Jezebel, and she kind of shamed me into talking about my pre-baby body. Like, I'm 5 years in now, and I was talking about how I was like holding on to clothes that I was hoping I would fit into, and she was like, 5 years later, forget it, get rid of those clothes, they're not even in style anymore anyway. And it was really helpful to hear someone say that.
To sort of allow you, you know, give you permission to let go.
Yeah. Yeah. To just be like, this is what you look like now, and it's fine. Just get over it.
Well, have you gotten rid of any of the clothes?
I did. I packed, like, after that, literally that weekend, I packed the clothes up and I donated them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. It felt really liberating.
I bet. Well, you mentioned parenting media and sort of that emphasis on happy, perfect mom versus bad mom. And there are just all sorts of just general commandments, it seems like, in parenting media of how you should raise your child. And it seems like the longest, shortest time really makes a concerted effort to emphasize more community versus commandment. And I was wondering if it's ever tricky to maintain that judgment-free, accepting tone and atmosphere, both in your own podcast conversations, but also too in the longest, shortest time listener community interactions.
Yeah. So I think it's just human nature to judge and to look at someone and be like, I wouldn't do it that way. But I also think it's important to remember that maybe if you were that exact person with their exact experiences and their exact children, you might do it their way. So that I try to remind myself that when those thoughts creep up on me. But in the podcast, there was one of my first guests was this woman, Kate, who she was very adamantly no cry with putting her kid to bed. And I had done Cry It Out and it had worked really well for me. And I did this interview with her where we talked about those two different things. And when I listened back to it a couple years after the fact, I felt so cringy because I felt like I sounded so smug and like I was judging her. And I remembered not feeling that way at the time, but I feel like I sounded that way. And I thought, oh, she must have felt so terrible. And so I called her back up and brought her back on the podcast and we talked about it. And she said she hadn't perceived it that way. But I know that that listeners had. And so the conversation we wound up having was that she had felt like she, because we kind of became friends after that first interview, and she felt like she could never tell me her birth story because hers kind of went well. And she felt bad sharing it with me. And I was like, no, you know, now that you've told me that, now I feel better about sharing my triumph with you. Like, we each had a triumph and it was different. Just like we each had different struggles. And it was like a really nice bonding moment. So it was sort of a way of using that judgy stuff, as to our advantage. And then, you know, we have two official Facebook groups. The Mama's group is almost 12,000 strong now, and the Papa's group, I think, is about 1,000. And then listeners have generated over 80 subgroups because they like the non-judgy tone of the show and they want to use it to talk about specific topics. And for a really long time, our rules in the group are no soliciting and no personal attacks, and we have no tolerance for either one. And for a while, we just didn't even have to address any of it. And then maybe like 6 months into having the group, it started growing really quickly because the podcast started getting more popular. And every time the show gets featured somewhere else, it's great for the show. It's great for the longevity of the show. And new people come in who are not at all used to this non-judgy tone that we have. And they're used to their other Facebook groups where they do attack each other. And so they come in and they start up with people. And the thing that I've found is that the group members are so protective of this tone that it's pretty self-regulating. They say, you know, this isn't allowed, and generally the offending person will remove themselves because then they start feeling attacked. Or if it doesn't resolve that way, then, you know, we remove them. But it doesn't happen too much.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to hear when audiences sort of do your work for you in the sense of protecting the sacred space that you've created. So some of my friends honestly think it's a little odd that I listen to The Longest Shortest Time because they ask me what it's about, and I'm like, well, it's about parenting. And they're like, well, that's weird. You don't have kids. And I was like, well, it's parenting, but it's really just about people and growing up. And that got me thinking about this tendency, especially the older I get, to divide the adult world and especially women into parents, non-parents, mothers versus non-mothers. And I was just wondering kind of what you think about that, of whether we sometimes are maybe cloistering ourselves too much based on our child free by choice or proud mom kind of identities.
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, I want to say that I think of the show as, like, the parenting stuff is just a launching point to talk about a whole bunch of other things, you know, to talk about the big human stuff, the relationships, the sex, the work, the death. We cover all of that stuff, and the only requirement is that there has to be a family relationship in there. And I don't know why we get this a lot. Like, my producer is not a mother, and she's in her early 30s, and she says that she goes to parties and people will come up and like whisper to her, like, I actually like the podcast you work on. And she's like, why is that a secret? You know, like, why is it weird that you would like to listen to stuff about family relationships? We all have families in one way or another. Anyway, that said, I think it's interesting, like, that we get divided in this way. And I think, you know, female bonds tend to be really, really strong, between friends. And when one person has a baby and the other one doesn't, or their timing is different, it can really throw a wrench in the relationship because people feel like they don't get each other that well. And I think, like, it does put your life in a different place, especially in the very beginning when, you know, you're not sleeping at all. But I think it doesn't have to be a complete end to the relationship. I don't think you have to be divided by, I'm only friends with other moms and my former friends who didn't have kids, like, kept their non-parent friends. Like, I think there are new ways to find of being adult friends, and you have to be creative. And I do think that a lot of the conversations we have on the podcast, people have said to me who don't have children, like, you're making me understand my friends' lives so much more and empathize so much more. And now I feel like I can be friends with them. We had this one woman, Rachel Garcia. She's a musician in California, and she and her partner don't plan to have children. And she and her partner were like weirded out by their friends who started having kids. And then she started listening to the show and she felt like she got it so much that they released their debut album. And one of the songs was a lullaby she wrote for her friend's baby, because of what she learned on the podcast. And so, I don't know. I don't think it has to be so divisive.
Well, what would you recommend then to say someone in my situation without kids, yeah, whose girlfriends are starting to have kids, in terms of maintaining that relationship and not, like you said, allowing it to sort of drive a wedge between you?
I would say don't take it personally that they don't have as much time for you anymore. It's not because they don't want to. It's because they can't. And if they're expressing interest in maintaining the friendship, see if you can cater to them, at least in that first year or two. Offer to come over and bring dinner, or come over and cook with them, or, you know, bring the wine and stay late after the baby goes to bed. Like, my husband and I have this thing we do where we live in New Jersey, and we have our friends come out to New Jersey from New York and spend the weekend and do like a grown-up sleepover. And, you know, my kid goes to bed at 8, and then we stay up and party, and it's the best. So that's my recommendation. And then, and they'll come around if you keep that up. That's going to mean a lot to them if you do that. And once they're able to like have more of a life that resembles what they used to, then they'll be coming back to you.
Well, and who could turn down an invitation to a grown-up sleepover? That sounds so fun. Well, you mentioned the Papa's group on the Longest Shortest Time Facebook page. And it reminds me of how we have heard from so many gentlemen in our Stuff Mom Never Told You stint asking for, well, what about stuff Dad never told you? And so I'm wondering, you know, when it comes to these conversations about parenting and family dynamics, do you think that men and dads need more attention, perhaps?
That's really funny. I asked my husband this question on the train on the way in to the city this morning, and he just looked at me and very flatly said, no. And I said, why not? And he was like, because if there's stuff I want to know about parenting, I just go look at general parenting stuff. I don't need stuff for dads. I don't know if that's how everyone feels, but I do think that there's definitely more of an urgency that I see from women feeling like the stuff that they're dealing with really needs attention. The dads, I think, need bonding with each other. And when you phrase it as like stuff dad never told you, I mean, you know, God, the stuff that dads don't tell their kids, there's so much. It's like, right? But so maybe there's more stuff that kids need from their dads. I don't know how much of a demand there is for dads to be catered to in parenting media, though.
Well, speaking of dads, we just did a podcast on this, so I have to ask you, do you have any thoughts on dad bods?
I don't know. I just think that there's that again, it's like there's not as much pressure on dads to look a certain way, you know?
Well, and especially after listening to this past week, I was binge listening to a number of old podcast episodes, and after listening to one on sex after childbirth and thinking about the idea of mom bod and how just the entire thing is so much different and far more complex than this presentation of what a dad bod is. Mm-hmm. It was thought provoking. I'll say that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like letting yourself go versus like stuff that was done to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. A complete transformation in a way.
Yeah. And I don't want to like belittle dads and what they go through. They go through a lot. But I'm just saying, I just feel a lot more urgency from moms.
Well, since this is Stuff Mom Never Told You, I wanted to ask whether there is a stuff mom never told you, just something generally that you especially want to ensure that you do tell your daughter, Sasha.
Yeah. So my mom was pretty open with me about the stuff that maybe other moms aren't open about, like body stuff and sex stuff and whatever, tending to your mental health needs. But she grew up in a time where gender roles were a lot more traditional. And so, like, she and my dad got married right out of college. And so she never lived on her own and never had to really become economically educated. And I did live on my own, and I needed to figure that stuff out on my own. And so I would want to pass that information on to my daughter. And I also would want her to know that if she winds up in a relationship with a man, that men do write thank you notes. So my mom, in her traditional ways, places a lot of importance on thank you notes. And like when I got married and when I had a baby, she was kind of stunned by the fact that my husband split the thank you note writing with me. And so I would want my daughter to know that, yes, you can expect your partner to write thank you notes too.
Egalitarian thank you notes. Mm-hmm. I love it. I have a wedding coming up next year, so I will remember that, Hillary. I will let my fiance know. when it comes to the longest, shortest time catalog and all of the different things, the different people that you've talked about and the experiences that people have shared, is there one that stands out in your mind that has really made a resounding impression on you?
Recently, I talked to this woman, Melinda. She is African American and had struggled with anxiety her entire life. And she, and then when she became pregnant, her anxiety kind of like became debilitating, but she felt like she couldn't talk about it because in her community, there's a real stigma to talking about mental health issues. And I just thought she was so brave to come out and talk about it. And it really, really resonated with people of all different cultures. And it was really amazing to see how her telling her story could just, make other people feel what I wanted to feel when I first started the podcast, which was not alone. So yeah, I think that one has been sticking with me.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that one because I also just listened to that and it had a huge impact on me as well because her story, I mean, it made me think about all of my fears about the possibility of if I become pregnant, if I become a mother, and how like my anxiety will interact with that. And I was sobbing on and off, like listening to it, and was just so grateful to hear her story and for it to be told so honestly as well. So thank you for sharing that too.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
So, well, for listeners who want to know where they can go to learn more about you and the longest, shortest time, and also about your offline events, because it is not just a podcast. You do meetups in person. Where can they go to find all that information?
Yeah, so they should go to longestshortesttime.com. And we take stories from listeners. We take stories from parents about their relationships with their kids, and we also take stories from kids and grown kids about their parents. And we have an app that you can find on our website where you can record answers to our questions really easily, and your voice can wind up on our show. And we also do these events that we call speed dating for mom friends, which is so that moms can meet each other. It's a non-judgy environment, and it's really fun. People come, and we made a signature cocktail for the last one called Sex on the Living Room Floor, and we could sort of take the guesswork out of making mom friends.
Fantastic. I'm curious, though, what goes into Sex on the Living Room Floor?
It's vodka and club soda with fresh orange juice and grapefruit juice. And to top it all off, there was a lemon wheel, but also a sexy lady, like a naked sexy lady stirrer.
Well, sounds very refreshing.
Thank you.
much to Hillary Frank for coming on and speaking with Kristen and enlightening all of us about parenthood, the nitty-gritty, like Kristen said, and basically filling us in on how she got to where she is. And if you want to learn more about Hillary Frank and the books she's written, the radio she's produced, the podcast, and also public speaking that she does, head on over to her website, HillaryFrank.com. And for more info and, more importantly, to listen to The Longest Shortest Time, you can head to LongestShortestTime.com. And we'll have links to all of this stuff and also some of my favorite Longest Shortest Time episodes on this podcast post over at StuffMomNeverToldYou.com. So again, huge thanks to Hillary for taking the time to chat with us today and kick off our podcast summer camp, summer series, spectacular sizzler. Is that the actual name of it?
Well, that's the name of the themed restaurant that you and I are going to open.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a podcast buffet. All you can eat.
So great.
Sneeze guard and all. Deep fried earbuds.
Ooh, love it.
Well, now we're curious to hear from listeners about your parenting stories. Do you feel like a lot of times parenting advice glosses over what it's really like to make that transition into parenthood? And also, if you have any tips on bridging that parent non-parent divide as well, we'd love to hear from you. We always love your stories. MomStuff@HowStuffWorks.com is our email address. You can also tweet us at MomStuff Podcast or message us on Facebook. And we've got a couple of messages to share with you right now.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Well, I have a letter here from Michelle about our sci-fi summer reading episode.
She says, I loved your discussion about women in sci-fi books. I'm a writer myself, and I gained my love for reading sci-fi and fantasy from my mother. I was so excited to hear some of my favorites mentioned, and I've learned some new names. I wanted to share another author with you and your listeners. Mercedes Lackey is an amazing fantasy writer, and her Harold Mage series is where I first encountered a same-sex relationship. I think the book was Magic's Pawn, and I was in high school. It made me pause when I came across it, but I recall that the relationship was handled in a very matter-of-fact way. The more I read it, the more normal, quote-unquote, it seemed to me. Her writing opened my mind to something I had never encountered before and helped to set me up for acceptance. Sci-fi and fantasy are definitely a great arena to explore the unfamiliar in a way that feels safe. Love you both. Keep up the great conversations. So thanks, Michelle.
So I've got a letter here from Amanda on our Judy Blume summer reading episode, because one summer reading episode was just not enough this summer. So Amanda wrote, thank you so much for the Judy Blume episode. For me, the timing couldn't have been better. Just last week, I decided I wanted to read some of J. Blue's older books after learning that there weren't any copies of In the Unlikely Event currently available at my local library. I decided to read Forever and absolutely loved it. 2 days later, I went back to the library and checked out Wifey. I'm 26 years old, and this was my first time reading either book. I'm not sure why, but I never really got into Judy Blume when I was a kid. I went to a Catholic grade school, and my parents were pretty conservative, so I think I was just never exposed to some of her more mature books. I was struck by how progressive and relevant Forever seemed, despite being written 40 years ago. I just love the message that people fall in love, have sex, break up, and move on, and that's okay. It's such an ordinary story, but one that would have been so helpful for me to read as a teenager. I hope I can share it with my future children someday. I enjoyed Wifey even more. Kristen, I too love a good oppressed housewife story, so this was right up my alley. I would love to hear what you think of it when you read it. I think I read this book at the exact right time of my life. I'm not sure if I would have appreciated it as a teenager or even as a younger adult. As a young married lady, I found it totally fascinating. I can't wait to get my hands on more J. Blue. And thank you, Amanda, for your letter, and everybody else who's written in to us. MomStuff@HowStuffWorks.com is our email address. And for links to all of our social media, as well as all of our blogs, videos, and podcasts with this one, with links to Longest Shortest Time, so you can give it a listen and fall in love with it like I have, head on over to StuffMomNeverToldYou.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.